Please remain standing, if you are able, for the reading of God's holy word. Our scripture this morning is found in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, and it can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1576. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." Here ends the scripture reading. This is God's holy word.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Wendy, for reading God's word for us this morning. Joe, thank you for leading us in worship. Choir, as always, thank you for leading us in worship. So I have to give a disclaimer this morning as we're jumping into our stewardship month. It's been the tradition of this church that each November we focus on this idea of stewardship, stewardship of our time, stewardship of our gifts, stewardship of our monetary finances. And so November is historically stewardship month, and so that's what we talk about in the month of November. Now, here's the disclaimer. If you are a guest with us this morning, this sermon is not for you. This is not for you. Not directly, possibly indirectly, depending on how God wants to use his word in your life. But if you're a guest with us this morning, this is not for you. It's not for you. One of the tragedies of the church is that those who don't regularly attend church, or maybe even don't have a relationship with Christ, or maybe are discovering or trying to find out what it means to have a relationship with Christ, one of the tragedies of the church is the reputation it has around giving, around money. This is often seen in the idea of churches many times pass a plate, or they pass an offering bag or something like that. And oftentimes, the reputation of the church, when you talk to people who are not regular church attenders or maybe don't know the Lord, one of the primary criticisms they have of the church is that they're always asking for even if you're a guest today, you can say this. They're always asking for
money.
Money. Money. Well, every time I go, they're just wanting my money. They just ask for my money. I can tell you this right now. If you're a guest with us this morning, whether you know the Lord or not, whether he's come to reside in your heart through faith and he's shown you the beauty of who he is, Jesus wants your heart. He doesn't need your money. But he wants your heart. And as your heart begins to belong to him, then you'll want to give. You want to give. If you're a guest with us today, this sermon is not primarily for you. It's not primarily for you. Secondarily, possibly. Maybe God wants to say something to you today. But if you are a regular attender or a member and you've proclaimed to know Christ, to have a relationship with Jesus, and you're saying that he's placed you here for the purpose of partnering in ministry, because you've recognized the beauty and the majesty of who Jesus is at a heart level, at a heart level, you've recognized that, then this is for you. This is for you. Jesus has a lot to say about giving, has a lot to say about money, actually. He doesn't avoid it. He's not afraid of it. In fact, Jesus will say that the manner in which you handle your finances and your money is one of the most clear illustrations of what's going on in your heart. Jesus will say that where your treasure is, there your heart is also. In other words, your heart directs your treasure. Your heart compels your treasure. What you find valuable at a heart level drives everything in your life, including finances, including how you give. At the core of the issue, it's what you think about Him. What you think about Him. So, I'm going to turn this down a little bit because I feel like I keep getting louder and louder, even though I'm not intending to get louder and louder. You don't... Online needs it louder? Ooh, that means that you guys... Oh, we should have given out earplugs. So, does it feel like I'm talking from behind you right now? Is it bouncing off the back wall? All right, it's okay. All right, so... So one of the places in which Jesus is going to talk about giving, talk about stewardship, is in Mark 12. And as we talk about this today, and as Jesus is going to instruct us today, if you grabbed a note sheet, you're going to see that the big idea of what Jesus is talking about here in this passage is this. It's right across the note sheet. Here's the big idea of this passage. We need Jesus to work in our hearts so that we will know how to give. We need Jesus to work in our hearts so that we will know how to give. You're wondering, wait a minute, how is how? What is how? How is how? How is that supposed to work? That's the thing that we're going to discover in this passage. We're going to discover in this passage how Jesus wants us to give. And so as we are already running short on time this morning, I'm going to jump right into the passage. Mark 12, verse 41 through 44. Jesus here is in the temple area, and it says here in verse 41 that he sat down opposite the treasury and watched people putting money into the offering boxes. This is a picture of the Temple Mount as of today. This is the Temple Mount. If you were to go to Jerusalem and you were to go to the Mount of Olives, and you were to be looking west from the Mount of Olives, you'd look over the Kidron Valley, and you would see the Temple Mount there. And this is a mosque right now built on the Temple Mount. And this is the original wall of Herod's temple. And it goes back this way, and then back behind here is the what's called the Western Wall, or the Wailing Wall. Have you ever heard of that, the Wailing Wall? It's back here on the west side, the back side of the Temple Mount. But this whole area right here is the Temple Mount. Here's the corner of it. Now, if you would have lived 2,000 years ago, it would have looked a little something like this. This is what the Temple Mount would have looked like from the Mount of Olives, or something close to that vantage point. Here is that same wall that we were just looking at. The Western Wall is on this back side. This is the primary area of the temple. This is the court of the Gentiles, where only Gentiles were allowed. This is the court of the women, and then the priests were allowed into this area right here. So this whole thing takes place, this whole narrative takes place from verse 41 to 44 in the temple, on the temple grounds. Here's a closer look at it, and it would be in this area right here where Jesus is sitting, right in this area, right here, when he begins to speak, right there in the court of the women. It says he sat down opposite the treasury and watch the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. Many rich people put in large sums. Jesus sits down on purpose for the purpose of seeing, Jesus sits down for the purpose of seeing what people are doing as it pertains to giving. Now, one of the things that's in the Greek here that you don't see in the English, and I'm not sure exactly why they didn't include this in the translation. If you look at the NIV, you look at the ESV, they didn't include this word that is very clearly in the Greek, and that is this. And he sat down, follow along with me in your Bibles if you'd like to. It's always a good idea for you guys to bring your Bibles to church. Bring your Bibles to church, open those things up, and follow along. Make notes, write in it, scribble in it if the Lord puts on your heart to do so. But I would encourage you guys to bring your Bibles to church. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched. In the English, it says, watched the people putting money into the offering box. In the Greek, it's very clear. It's, and he sat down opposite the treasury and watched how the people put money into the offering box. Now, you insert that little word, how, and it completely changes the manner of what we're talking about here. You can watch a football game and watch what is going on, but if you watch a football game and you watch how something is going on, that's a totally different depth of meaning, yeah? If you're watching how someone does something, that means something entirely more integrated. He's watching how they are giving. And it says here that there were many rich people with large sums who were giving money into the offering boxes. Why does that matter? Why does it matter? Well, what would happen in that time is that you would have very wealthy people coming in, and as they would drag in their offerings in these bags, they didn't have paper money back then. There was no paper money. The money was either made out of silver or gold or copper, right? That's what they made money out of. There was a time in, 200, 300 years ago when that was the primary way that you paid for things, right? It was with some kind of metal. And so people would bring in bags, they'd bring in their offerings, and they would approach these offering boxes, and these offering boxes, they would call them shofar boxes because a shofar was a horn, and it was shaped like a horn. So you'd have this box, and then connected to it would be this pipe, and it would come up, and then it would balloon out like a horn. And so they were called shofar boxes. And they were made out of metal, oftentimes they were made out of brass, or they made out of bronze. And so can you imagine, if you were someone who was wealthy, you got your donkey, or you've got your wheelbarrow, or you've got whatever it is, and you're bringing this big bag of money in, right? And you're bringing it along, and there's a whole bunch of people around, and everybody's watching. It's one of the most busy places of the temple, the court of the women. And you're bringing it in, and all the receptacles are there, and people are pouring in, and you bring in that money, and here you go, and you look around, and you put it up on your shoulder, and you start going clink, 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 and starts making a whole bunch of noise. And before you know it, you're pouring the whole thing in there, and it sounds like rushing water and banging and metal on metal, and it's all this clanging and clinking and clamor, and people are giving. It says Jesus sat down to look at how people were giving. How they were giving. Not just the manner, not just the means by which they were giving, how they were getting to the receptacles, how they were getting to the offering boxes, but the manner in which they did it. In this time, in this culture, it became a very well-established idea that as the priests heard the coins rattling into these offering boxes, there would be celebration, there would be notoriety, there would be some kind of recognition. They would have a plaque or something with their name written on it, and it would be tacked onto something. some kind of attention that you would get for doing this. Attention for it. Jesus is watching this happen as these folks are giving in this way. He's taking note of how they're giving. How they're giving. Not just the means by which they're giving, but the manner in which they give. What do they really care about as they give? Who's most important as they give? What's most significant to them as they give? Why are they giving? Why are they giving? Mark Strauss, in commenting on this, says this, that Jesus finds a place to sit opposite the shofar chests and watches the wealthy placing large numbers of coins in. The amount given would have been obvious by the rattle of the coins as they were poured into the metal receptacles. We have this today in our day and age where people don't tend to give anonymously. They find ways to allow themselves to be known or have some kind of recognition for the way in which they give. I kind of hinted at it earlier. Oftentimes it means their name is tattooed on a building or somewhere listed somewhere. This wing of this building is dedicated to this person because they gave this money. This piece of furniture is given to this person because they gave this money. This thing is dedicated to this person because they gave this, that, or the other thing. And Jesus is looking at this as to how they are giving. How are they giving? Strikingly, verse 42 nudges its way into this context. And it says, "And a poor widow came and put two small copper coins, which make a penny." So in the midst of all of the hubbub, in the midst of all of the craziness, in the midst of all of the busyness of this temple area and people putting in large sums of money, here comes this widow. This widow who has two small copper coins in her hand. And she comes in unannounced. She comes in unseen. She comes in an unidentifiable way. She comes in with no one looking. And she slowly approaches the shofar boxes, behind the scenes, as it were. And she drops in two little coins. Two little coins. These two little coins referred to in Greek as leptos. They're thin, small, fine coins. They're the smallest denomination of coin that you can find in that time. Be the equivalent of $3.50 in our day. It'd be enough to buy a meager meal, except now at McDonald's, if you want to buy a meal for your family, it's like $75. I'm not sure exactly when that happened or how that happened. Take your kids to McDonald's and you're like, wow, that was like $60 through the drive-thru. This would buy just a meager meal, or it would be enough for her to get into a public bath. For the public baths of the time where you would pay and go in and you'd be able to somehow clean yourself up, it'd be enough for her to get into a public bath. Here's what one of those coins would have looked like. Just small, thin, little coin. And so she goes to the receptacle. She drops it in there. And she begins to walk away. She walks away with no one noticing. But what does it say Jesus is doing here? He sat down across from the offering boxes and watched the people putting money in? No, he watched how they put money in. How? This woman is in striking contrast to what we've just seen. She comes in humility. She comes with dependence. She comes with a willingness to trust the Lord. She comes with a desire for not show, but for faithfulness. She comes with a desire to give her all to the Lord. And so Jesus says this, verse 43, says he calls the disciples to him, and he said, "Truly I say to you." Now, if you have your Bibles in front of you, underline "truly." When Jesus says, "Truly I say to you," what he's saying is, I want to get your attention. The fact that he calls his disciples over and begins by saying, "Truly I say to you," he's getting their attention because what he has just seen is absolutely striking to him. It has gathered his attention. When no one else has noticed, there's only one person who has. When no one else has noticed, there's only one person who has. And quite honestly, he's the only one who matters. The only one who noticed is the only one who really matters. And he notices. He notices. So he looks at his disciples, he calls them over, and he says, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who contributed to the offering box." He calls them over and he wants to gather their attention. He wants them to see the very same thing that he sees. He wants them to have the same purview, the same view, the same perspective. He wants them to see it exactly as he sees it. It's critical for them to have the same perspective on giving as he does. That's true for us. It's critical that we have the same perspective of giving that the Lord does. So he gathers them together and he says, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow," that's emphatic. "This poor widow," exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, double underlined circle, stars, whatever you want to do around that poor widow. "This poor widow." Who may not know what her next meal looks like, or where she's going to get it, or how it's going to come to her. "This poor widow. Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have contributed to the offering box." Why, Jesus, could you say that? Wasn't it clear that the guy who was bringing in a whole sack of money and pouring it into the offering box and it was making all the clinking and the clanking, wasn't it clear that he gave more? Jesus, you got bad math. And maybe bad hearing. Didn't you hear all of the clanking and the clinking? Jesus, that woman put in 2 coins. How in the world did she give more than what they did? How is this possible? Jesus, what is your economy on this? How does your economy work when it comes to giving? He says this in verse 44, "For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty, has given everything she had, all she had to live on. This is striking. Absolutely striking. Jesus can look at someone who's wealthy, who has money, and he says they gave out of their comfort. They gave what was easy. They gave what was not generally costly to them. They gave out of their surplus. They gave out of their ease. And he says they didn't really give. They didn't give. They didn't give. Not how I would want them to give. This woman who gave out of her poverty, who gave in the midst of her need, who gave in the midst of her hardship, who gave in the midst of her trial, who gave in the midst of her trust of the Lord, knowing that He is the one who provides for all of her needs, she is the one who gave more. She gave how I want her to give. She didn't give out of her comfort. She gave out of her trust of the Lord. For they all contributed out of their abundance. What does this show us? In the first couple verses, we see that Jesus desires that we would give humbly. He desires that we would give humbly. Not making a show out of it, not making a big deal out of it, not making a name for ourselves, not drawing attention to ourselves, not making ourselves great, not making ourselves important. She could have done the same thing. She could have made a show out of her giving. Look at me, I'm a poor widow. These are the last two coins I have to give. This is all I have for my life today, and look what I'm doing. I'm giving it to the Lord. She could have done the same thing, make a show out of it, yeah? It's not a matter of riches or poverty. It's not a matter of riches or poverty. She could have made a show out of it as well. The reality of it is that she gave out of humility because she didn't desire attention to herself when she gave. It was between her and the Lord. She wanted to honor the Lord in the way in which she gave, and that meant that she gave humbly and she trusted Him and recognized that all things come from Him and that He was going to be faithful to her. He was going to be faithful. The other thing that you see is that she gave sacrificially. She gave sacrificially. She gave out of her poverty. For the rich men, they never gave sacrificially. They never gave sacrificially. They gave out of their abundance. They gave out of what they had left over at the end of the month. They gave what was comfortable for them to give, without it being challenging. They gave because it made them feel good to give, whether it was because they had the adoration of others or because they were assuaging some conscious desire that they had in themselves to give. But it wasn't humble giving and it wasn't sacrificial giving. Ultimately, it was self-centered giving. What it boils down to, self-centered giving. It wasn't giving that had the Lord as their audience, an audience of one. It was giving that had everybody else around them as their audience. And so the Lord can say, for they contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. That phrase, all she had to live on, literally in Greek is she has given her entire life. She has given her entire life. Now this gives us a bit of an idea. This gives us a bit of an idea of what it means to give and how God desires us to give. The reason why this woman gives this way, the reason why she's able to give this way, is because she's already given her entire life to the Lord. She's already entrusted herself to the Lord. She's already put herself in the hands of the Lord. She's already relinquished all who she is and all that she has to the Lord as the one who is faithful to her, as the one who will care for her, as the one who will provide for her, as the one who will watch out for her, as the one who holds her in his hands. He will care for her, and her confidence, her hope is not in the 2 pennies that she drops in the offering. Her hope is in the Lord. And it's out of that hope, it's out of that confidence that she gives. Now, practically speaking, what does it look like to give humbly and sacrificially, practically speaking? Number one, it starts with prayer. The Lord desires to have a conversation with you about how you give. He's not primarily interested in a percentage. We'll discuss this in the following weeks, but the New Testament does not prescribe a 10% requirement. There's not a 10% requirement in the New Testament for giving. Some people will give less than 10%. Some people should be giving more than 10%. But that has to do with prayer and having a conversation with the Lord about what it means for you to give. How do you give humbly? How do you give sacrificially? It starts with prayer and asking the Lord to give you a heart in conversation with Him, and if you're married, in conversation with your spouse about what it means to give. It also means that you give first. The manner in which the Lord desires you to give is not to get to the end of the month and be like, okay, well, this is what I have left at the end of the month. What can I give out of this? No, the Lord says, I give to you first. I desire that you would respond to me also in giving back to me first. That you give to Him first. And then build the rest of your life around that. That this is what I'm doing to give. This is non-negotiable. This is in relationship and conversation with the Lord. I'm going to give first. Doesn't mean it needs to come out on the first of the month. It can come out any time of the month. But I'm going to give first in my heart, and nothing is going to touch that. That is put away, put aside, relegated to the Lord. This is going to the Lord, period. And we're going to give. And I'm going to build the rest of my life around that. Which means I may not have coffee as often as I'd want to. Which means I may not go out as often as I want to. Which means I may not be able to do some of the things that I would like to do. But what the Lord is saying is, I want your heart to know my love for you and for your heart to love me. and recognize how wonderful I am for you. How wonderful I am for you. And for you to give out of that. So prayer and giving to the Lord comes first. Comes first. For some people, it may be less than 10%. For others, it may be more. That's not up to me. That's between you and the Lord as far as how you give. But the Lord cares about how you give. Cares about how you give. Robert Stein, and I'm going to finish up with this. Robert Stein says this: the widow gave not out of her excess, but out of her poverty and lack. She had only two tiny lepto, and she gave not one of them, but both. Thus she manifests her total love for God by giving to Him all that she had. The Lord desires that you would give back to Him both humbly and sacrificially. And what you give is between you and the Lord. So I would encourage you to pray, to talk to your spouse, if you have that relationship with your spouse that you can do that, and ask the Lord to put on your heart how He wants you to give, humbly, sacrificially. Let's pray.